Everyone's watching when you're where I am. Everything's timeless. Yeah, yeah. And I don't wanna be somebody without your body close to me. And if it wasn't you, I wouldn't want anybody close to me. Yeah, yeah. Cause I'm an animal, animal, oh, like animals like you. And I don't wanna be somebody without your body. Chapter 2. Week 4. The Rem X, says Meng Yao, who has by now become the de facto reading out of cue cards person. Wei Wuxian is pretty sure he's the only person who has figured out that Meng Yao is doing it deliberately to secure himself guaranteed screen time. The producer stops him to tell him it's pronounced the remix, you know, like a remix with X's. But it says, never mind, says Meng Yao with a sigh. The remix, spelled Rem X, a selection of previous contestants have been invited to join the Hot or Not Island. You have the option of choosing to remain in your current couple or couple up with one of these ex-contestants. If you do choose to recouple, your previous partner deserves the right to challenge your new partner. The challenge method will be revealed after all the challenges have been issued. If you don't challenge, you won't be eliminated. But if you do challenge and lose, you will immediately be eliminated. Winners of the challenge will be granted a night in the love shack. Wei Wuxian can see where this is going. New contestants are introduced, and current contestants are encouraged to both pick them and then challenge them, neatly stirring up the pot. Should have called it X on the beach instead, quips Wei Wuxian. Or shout out to my ex, Nia Huaisong nods. Lost, suggests Mo Xuan Yu eventually. Wei Wuxian blinks quizzically. Like Lost Season 7. Wei Wuxian laughs. He's appreciating Mo Xuan Yu's sense of humor more and more. He's currently coupled up with Nia Meng Chue and kind of seems terrified about it. Wei Wuxian is secretly hoping it'll work out after his conversation with Meng Chue. The previous contestants are a mixed bag. A couple of alphas who got through previous season finales but didn't win. One of the Omegas who got eliminated during the villa episodes, Su Shi, probably for the sheer drama potential, and Wen Xu, one of the winners of season 3, and Wen Chao's older brother. Interesting. He and his winning Omega are still together, from what Wei Wuxian remembers, although he's added to that number since. How many Omegas does one man need? He murmurs as he watches Wen Chao turn an interesting shade of purple. No lost love between the brothers, then? I heard all his Omegas are super pampered, whispers Huaisong back. But no one's actually seen any of them go outside of Wen Tower in years. Wei Wuxian shudders. Do you think anyone will pick him? He's pretty much a ticket to a guaranteed win. Strong, handsome, heir to a multi-billion yuan empire, plus the experience of being a previous winner with a killer's instinct. I bet Wang Lingjiao is considering an upgrade to her Wen brother. Huaisong is right. Wang Lingjiao consciously uncouples with Wen Chao and latches onto Wen Xu instead. She doesn't even come up to his shoulder. There's a long moment where Wen Chao is evidently trying to consider whether this will go better or worse for him if he challenges his brother. Wen Xu's face is impassive like stone, and eventually Wen Chao says reluctantly, I challenge. And I challenge Lan Wangji, says Su Shi, voice ringing out across the patio. There's a moment of silence. Realistically, everyone's still trying to process the Wen brothers' showdown. They haven't caught up to this new development yet. Wei Wuxian suddenly realizes what that means for him. He's the one coupled up with Lan Wangji right now, and he does not want to be coupled up with Su Shi. "That's not how this works," he says. "Didn't you listen to the rules? I challenge Lan Wangji," repeats Su Shi firmly. The producer makes a rolling motion with his arms. "Run with it." Well, of course he would say that. This sort of shit makes for great television. "I see I'm superfluous to this decision," says Wei Wuxian sourly, aware that his scowl is probably going to make it into the cut. He can see the deadline now. Career Omega Wei Wuxian finally jealous? Su Shi doesn't even like him. It seems like he just wants to get one over on Lan Wangji. But Wei Wuxian is going to be the one stuck with him if he wins. "And now, the challenge between the competing alphas," announces Meng Yao, with a new cue card once all the challenges are in. "The Omega will remove their top. The challenging alphas will each be able to suck on one of the Omega's nipples. The nipple that is the hardest after 30 seconds is the winner." Somehow, he says the whole thing with a straight face. "What the fuck?" says Wei Wuxian. I thought it was going to be a fight," says Su Shi, sounding slightly bewildered. He has no right to sound confused. He's the one who broke the stupid rules and roped Wei Wuxian into this. And now Wei Wuxian has to let him near one of his nipples for 30 seconds? Why? "You thought you'd win a fight against Lan Wangji?" Wei Wuxian asks meanly, before stalking off. He lies down on one of the sunbeds on the beach, as well as Su Shi on one side and Lan Wangji on the other. There's one camera and approximately half the other contestants watching. He has, frankly, no idea how his nipples are going to react, and he really hopes this isn't what gets Lan Wangji eliminated from the show. "Your time starts now." Su Shi swoops down the moment the timer starts, and Wei Wuxian has to slide his hands behind his back so he doesn't physically shove him off. He's certainly going for it. Wei Wuxian doesn't exactly have a lot of experience with nipple play, so he's not sure if this is considered good or not. "It's wet?" "Ow," says Wei Wuxian, wincing. "There were teeth there." He likes teeth, he thinks, at least when he's making out. But this feels more like he's being gnawed on like a chew toy. His nipple is mortifyingly getting hard, though. It's just a physiological reaction, he tells himself. He can't decide whether he wants to look down at the top of Su Shi's head or close his eyes and try to ignore it completely. He settles for looking the other way instead, and locks eyes with Lan Wangji. Lan Wangji, who is sitting on Wei Wuxian's other side and not doing anything at all. Wei Wuxian feels the disappointment like a gut punch. Sure, he knew that Lan Wangji wasn't here looking for a mate, but still, he could at least put up a fight for the sake of staying in the show. Their time must be up soon. This feels like the longest 30 seconds of Wei Wuxian's life. Finally, Lan Wangji dips his head down and touches the tip of his tongue to the tip of Wei Wuxian's nipple, and then sits back up again, before Wei Wuxian can even hope for him to do well. "Was that it?" Lan Wangji nods, as if to himself, and then brings his hand up and flicks Wei Wuxian's nipple. Hard. "Ow!" yelps Wei Wuxian, flinching so hard he bucks Su Shi off. "Time's up." Wei Wuxian crosses his arms over his stomach. He wants them to be over his chest, but whichever poor crew member has been designated arbitrator of nipple hardness is trying to do her job and glares at Lan Wangji, What the hell was he playing at? The winner is Lan Wangji, the crew member announces. And Lan Wangji nods to himself again and holds Wei Wuxian's t-shirt out for him. What the fuck? Croaks Wei Wuxian. What the fuck? Says Su Shi, wiping drool off his mouth with his sleeve. Ew. And Wei Wuxian immediately wishes he hadn't sworn. He doesn't want any opinions in common with the man. He scrubs himself down with a towel and some hand sanitizer for lack of better options, as they do some sort of official announcement about Lan Wangji winning over Su Shi. His right nipple, the one Su Shi was on, is kind of red and puffy and swollen. God, if he has bite marks from Su Shi, he's going to hit something. His left nipple is... well, okay, yeah, it's pretty damn hard. Wei Wuxian wriggles back into his t-shirt before he can have feelings about it. At least now he gets to watch the Wen brothers as they get uncomfortably close to incest as a palate cleanser. For staying true to each other during the Ream X's challenge, they're granted a night in the Love Shack. Apart from his first year, Wei Wuxian's never actually had a Love Shack night, since they tend to get given out for people who are actually coupling up. The next evening, Lan Wangji arrives at the door to pick him up, having walked from the Alpha Villa 20 meters away. The door isn't locked, since they're all wandering in and out at all hours. But he knocks anyway. Who is it? Calls Wei Wuxian, like the absolute fucker he is. Waiting for an answer before he and the camera crew lurking behind him open the door to see Lan Wangji and the camera crew lurking equally behind him. Lan Wangji! Oh, how nice it is to see you, says Wei Wuxian, leaning forward and kissing his cheeks in the air like some sort of European gentry. Wei Wuxian, says Lan Wangji, but he sounds almost amused. Yeah, this is so weird, right? Let's go. Wei Wuxian laughs and picks up his little clutch, which has condoms printed on the front. They walk towards the Love Shack, set a 15-minute amble away from the main villas. There are stationary cameras placed in the Love Shack, but no camera people following them down the path, and Wei Wuxian feels the relief lift off him. They're still mic'd up, as they have to be, but even just not having eyes on him all the time lets him inhale a little deeper. He does it again, more exaggeratedly, pulling a whole lung full of sea air into his chest and then releasing it all out, stretching his arms up into the black sky. Lan Wangji turns to watch him, bemused. Don't you feel freer without the weight of all those eyes on you? Asks Wei Wuxian. They're still listening to us, says Lan Wangji. Sure, but we can pretend. It's so nice not to turn around and constantly see someone lurking with a camera. Without drawing attention to it in his voice, Wei Wuxian points at the mic, neatly twists it off his t-shirt, and opens his clutch, dropping it inside. He holds it out for Lan Wangji to do the same, and sees him note that there are, in fact, no condoms inside the bag, despite the proclamation on the front. They walk in blessed silence for a moment, just enjoying the cooling night air, the breeze coming in from over the water. Lan Wangji's face is lost in the flickering shadows, the lanterns mostly left behind them as they reach a stretch of beach, wet and giving way slightly under Wei Wuxian's flip-flops. Why do you come back if you don't like it?
A great question. One that Wei Wuxian has never quite managed to give a good answer for. I forget how intense it is between sessions. And the last bit is always the finale, and it's just one massive heat, and I'm basically delirious by the end of it. and I'm good at that bit. And every year I think, I could do an awful heat again for $500,000. It's not like the rest of my heats aren't terrible, and I get paid nothing for those. And forget about how tacky and tasteless the rest of it is.
So you agree it's tacky and tasteless?
Lan Wangji says with a slight note of surprise. Wei Wuxian looks at him, still indecipherable, and now he's also not meeting Wei Wuxian's eyes. Oh my god, did you just think that I was just tacky and tasteless?
Lan Wangji tilts his head. It takes him a while to answer. You've been on 4 seasons. It seemed a logical assumption.
Wei Wuxian laughs, trying to keep it down. He doesn't want to tip anyone off that they've unmiked themselves. It's a job. A job that I'm good at. And now you've met me in person, you can probably tell that part of it is me, how I am all the time, Wei Yang. But part of it is Wei Wuxian.
You are Wei Wuxian.
Yeah, but no. Wei Wuxian is a personality and a part of me, but not all of me is Wei Wuxian. I think we're all different people under different circumstances and around different people. And this is who I am when I'm on national television being slightly slutty. Does that make sense?
How can you be slutty? You haven't nodded with anyone, points out Lan Wangji.
The word slutty sounds unnatural to him. He's probably never had to say something so uncouth out loud before. It's sort of endearing. This poor man is so out of place on this show. I flash my ass around and I don't worry about who's watching, says Wei Wuxian. So even though everyone knows I've never been knotted, the fact that I seem like I could be up for it is enough to make me Schrodinger's slut.
Lan Wangji makes a little sound, like the world's tiniest sneeze, and it takes Wei Wuxian a hot second to realize that he had startled Lan Wangji into a laugh for real.
They keep walking, this time in real silence. Wei Wuxian straying far enough from the path to let the tide tickle his feet for a little bit. It's nice not to have to be on. I keep coming back because I'm an optimist, says Wei Wuxian eventually. Because this show is horrible and full of horrible people. And don't get me wrong, I'm one of them. And you can see how people react when they have to do horrible things. And I think if someone could see me here, at my worst, and still be interested, then that's a good match.
Lan Wangji thinks it over for a moment.
The silence is comforting, actually. Like proof that he's really hearing Wei Wuxian.
But you haven't found one yet.
Not yet, says Wei Wuxian softly. They come into view of the love shack after that, and Wei Wuxian holds out his not-condom bag so they can mic themselves back up.
I don't think you're a horrible person, says Lan Wangji quietly.
He clips his mic on before Wei Wuxian can reply, so Wei Wuxian reaches out and squeezes him lightly on the elbow instead. That's sweet. He's wrong, because they haven't reached the part of the show where Wei Wuxian starts enticing people in with his slick and then murdering them yet. But it's sweet. The exterior of the love shack is designed to make it look as much stereotypical tropical beach shack as possible, so Wei Wuxian isn't holding out much hope for the interior. But it's actually surprisingly nice. It looks mostly like a generic, swanky 5-star hotel room. White linens and clean lines and rectangles everywhere. The aircon cranked a little low. The only indication that it's part of the Hot or Not show is the glowing pink neon lettered lights above the backboard of the head, which says, Love.
There's only one bed, says Lan Wangji,
pausing as they step over the threshold. Yes,
says Wei Wuxian. It's called the Love Shack. Did you
know?
Says Lan Wangji curtly, almost a completely different person from the one standing with Wei Wuxian on a dark beach 3 minutes ago. He sighs and perches gingerly on the edge of the bed. He speaks slowly, with gaps between his sentences, like he's attempting to consider his words before they fall out of his mouth.
I'm sorry. That was rude of me. I'm aware what this room was for, and what other contestants have used it for. I just had not quite made the connection to our circumstances.
Our circumstances?
You were not interested in sleeping with me.
Wei Wuxian winces at the way it comes out. He's not wrong, but that's not it, not exactly. I'm not interested in sleeping with you, I just...
That came out badly too,
says Lan Wangji, looking increasingly more pathetic by the moment.
You are not currently on this television show, looking to actually mate with anyone.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. It's weird, because neither of us are here to have, like, wild, kinky sex away from the rest of the contestants. And the thing is, Wei Wuxian does get it. He's right. He's coupled up with a few of the alphas for challenges, but none of them have been genuinely trying to court him.
Yes, Lan Wangji says in relief. That's it. Sorry. Again.
It's fine. You got there in the end. If you're not comfortable sharing a bed, I'll just take the sofa, says Wei Wuxian, flopping down onto it. It's perfectly comfortable.
No, if you are not comfortable sharing the bed, I will take the sofa, says Lan Wangji.
Wei Wuxian frowns. I'm fine sharing a bed.
Oh.
Lan Wangji actually looks startled at that. Like, he genuinely thought that Wei Wuxian would be the one who didn't want to share a bed with him.
I just thought that since you were in preheat, you would prefer unmated alphas not to linger.
And now Wei Wuxian gets it. Oh, I'm not... Why are they so awkward with each other? They were perfectly fine just a moment ago. Wei Wuxian blames it on the presence of cameras and mics again. It's super considerate of you, but no, I'm not worried about you not being able to control yourself and ravaging me in my sleep. He kind of wants to laugh, because Lan Wangji is so incredibly unlikely to try anything unwanted that it hadn't even crossed Wei Wuxian's mind to be wary of him like he would of some of the other contestants. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure you could, if you wanted, ravage me.
Well, that's good, says Lan Wangji faintly.
There's a tiny blush across his ears. There he is. The two versions of Lan Wangji are resolving into one in his head. Wei Wuxian does laugh this time. Yeah, that's good. Initial awkwardness over, they take the time to explore the room. The love shack is supplied with a host of luxuries. There are at least 3 bowls of condoms set out like potpourri. And Wei Wuxian is slightly disappointed not to be able to use any of it, since most of it is geared towards encouraging contestants to have more sex, not less. But he spies the hot tub and makes a beeline for it. Oh, hot damn, feel this jet spray, he says as he sinks into the water delightedly. His head thunks back as the jet stream hits one of the aches in his lower back, and he groans. Lan Wangji, you have got to try this out. Lan Wangji hovers on the side until Wei Wuxian opens his eyes again to peer at him. What's wrong?
I didn't bring swim trunks.
He gestures down at himself. It's something that Wei Wuxian has noticed, actually. He himself tends to live in Speedos and swim shorts during the dating portion of this show, knowing that they might be called down to the beach at any time. And also, because if someone is paying him to go to a tropical island, then yes, he's going to work on his tan for free. But Lanwang Ji generally sticks to a selection of very practical-looking shorts and t-shirts. "Just take them off. I won't look." Wei Wuxian leans his head back and throws an arm over his face. He's trying really hard to make this a comfortable, inclusive experience for Lanwang Ji right now. There would definitely be some Omegas who would make a thing of this. He leaves his arm there until he hears Lanwang Ji step in, and by the time he looks up, Lanwang Ji is situated all the way in. The hot tub isn't exactly big, probably to promote that couple-y snuggling vibe, so they end up sitting opposite each other, their legs crisscrossing. Wei Wuxian carries the conversation. He talks about the travel and extreme sports stuff he likes to do outside of the show, the way that getting sponsors has opened him up to become a content creator on his own terms, and how he probably has a fucked up sense of what counts as a high-risk situation. At some point, he wonders vaguely if Lanwang Ji is even listening, and peters off. "And I was dangling off..." After a second, Lanwang Ji prompts, "A cliff?" "Oh, no, the side of a building, actually," he beams. "Sorry, I was wondering if I'd lost you."
"No, I don't think so. Your storytelling is very engaging and easy to follow."
Absolutely not what Wei Wuxian meant, but delightful nevertheless. Lanwang Ji has stopped looking like he's got a stick up his ass and is just a man sitting naked in a hot tub with another man. It's nice, actually. Lanwang Ji is an active listener, and now that Wei Wuxian has figured out that this is what his interested face looks like, he gets into it. And in return, Lanwang Ji chips in every so often with an observation when Wei Wuxian mentions camping and getting caught in the rain, or his heat arriving early while he was on a shoot, or anything else. The water doesn't get cooler, and there's no clock anywhere to be seen, so the only way that Wei Wuxian can tell that time has passed is by how wrinkled his fingertips are getting. Somewhere between dried fig and prune, Lanwang Ji starts drooping. Like, physically drooping. "Oop, bedtime for you?" Lanwang Ji opens his mouth to reply and yawns instead. He promptly looks mortified at himself, and Wei Wuxian cackles. "It's okay, let's call it a day. I'll head in first." Wei Wuxian steps out, because he did bring Speedos, and pads towards the shack to find some towels for them. He finds them in time to bring one to Lanwang Ji before he can step into his wet shorts. Wei Wuxian catches sight of a trim waist that glides into a smooth expanse of butt before he averts his eyes.
"Thanks," says Lanwang Ji,
and Wei Wuxian skitters back into the shack. It's about respecting Lanwang Ji's boundaries, Wei Wuxian tells himself as he steps into the shower. The hot tub was nice, but he quickly scrubs himself above the chest, especially around the neck. The water had probably dampened it, but he probably is putting out a lot of scent right now, and he doesn't want to make it hard on Lanwang Ji. It's not his fault he's going to be sleeping next to an absolute snack. He goes wild with the fancy lotions after brushing his teeth, picking the ones with the strongest scents to try and fend it off, and then heads out into the bedroom. Lanwang Ji has turned off the main light and is stood, looking dumbfounded at the neon love lights still glaring at them.
"I can't find the switch," he says.
They spend 10 minutes looking for the switch. There isn't one, apparently, and they give up, Wei Wuxian sliding into bed as Lanwang Ji takes over the bathroom. The bed is real nice, soft and enveloping him with as many pillows as he would like. Their dorm beds are decent, too, but Wei Wuxian has a double at home, and every time the adjustment back to a twin is a pain. He burrows under the covers and sticks one leg out for thermal regulation, and is fast asleep before Lanwang Ji is even done brushing his teeth. Wei Wuxian wakes the next morning, curled up on his side. Curled up against something that's too warm, and his legs sticking out and too cold on the other end. He groans, and pulls his legs under the covers, cuddling up to the source of heat instead. Ah, the source of heat is Lan Wangji's chest.
Oh my god, mumbles Wei Wuxian,
when said chest shifts underneath him, and pulls away quickly enough that he accidentally rolls himself into a burrito, yanking all of the covers with him, almost off the bed. Fuck! By the time he disentangles himself from the covers to poke his head out of the top, Lan Wangji is sitting up on the bed, looking at him in confusion. Sorry, says Wei Wuxian, and then says it again when trying to sort out the duvet so that Lan Wangji can have half back. And then he notices that Lan Wangji is shirtless and wearing only a tiny pair of briefs in bed, and there is a significant bulge in them, and his brain shorts out.
Oh my god,
he says again, and then also, sorry, sorry. He's only got a vocabulary of 2 words in the morning, it seems. Lan Wangji also notices where he's looking. Not least because Wei Wuxian is being incredibly unsubtle about it, and grabs a corner of the duvet to press over his morning wood. And Wei Wuxian is still holding the rest of the same duvet, which counts as indirectly touching Lan Wangji's dick, right? So he flings the rest of the king-sized duvet at Lan Wangji. He just manages to see his shocked face before the thing hits him with a thwomp in the face. And flees into the bathroom. Oh my god, he whispers to himself, and, well, at least it's 3 separate words this time. He sits on the toilet seat to contemplate his shame, now that his brain is actually coming online and realizing what an absolute embarrassment he was. Poor Lan Wangji, just sleeping and having completely normal bodily functions before Wei Wuxian tries to climb on top of him and then be extremely uncool about it all. Sitting on the toilet has also revealed something else, which Wei Wuxian has had neither the brain power nor wherewithal to notice so far, which is that he also has his own morning wood, which was probably pressed against Lan Wangji's leg earlier. And not just that, but his boxer briefs are wet in the back. Wei Wuxian presses his face into his hands. If he closes his eyes for long enough, maybe he doesn't have to deal with it. Eventually, he stands and peels them off. Yep, giant wet patch in the back. And he can feel the slick sticking to his skin, having dripped out of his asshole at some point in the night. He should have brought black underwear. Perhaps he, like Lan Wangji, did not think through what spending the night in the love shack would entail for the two of them. He's in preheat. Of course his body would react to a nice alpha so close and available. Instead, he has gray underwear that look wrecked. He steps into the shower to scrub himself off again, slathers himself in some more vanilla-scented lotion, and finds a little plastic baggie to stick his underwear in. It can go in the no condoms condoms bag. He's tempted to get rid of the morning wood the normal way, and then decides he doesn't want to have to deal with his brain thinking that wanking off in the room adjacent to Lan Wangji is basically like indirect sex or something, and goes for the regrettable blast of cold water instead. He steps out in a towel wrapped very firmly, plus a fluffy bathrobe, to see Lan Wangji fully dressed on the sofa, the bed made, no signs of abnormal behavior at all. Wei Wuxian clears his throat. Sorry, I really didn't mean to make this as weird as humanly possible. Bathroom's free.
It could have been worse.
And with that ominous statement, Lan Wangji nods gravely and absconds to the bathroom. Obviously, Wei Wuxian immediately goes to flip the duvet up on his side of the bed. Fucking hell! The wet patch is big enough it looks like he might have actually wet himself. He gives himself a moment for his soul to leave his body, due to mortified laps of the room, and reluctantly come back to him. And then,
quietly tucks the duvet back down. If Lan Wangji could smell that on him, it's no wonder he had morning wood. It's not until they leave the love shack that Wei Wuxian squints at the morning sky, the sunlight a watery, weak yellow.
What time is it?
One of the things contestants struggle to adjust to is the lack of clocks. It's meant to disorient, especially when they're dragged out of bed in the middle of the night or early morning for a challenge, or when the show needs to manipulate the amount of time they're asked to do something, and a dinner takes 4 hours.
A little after 5 a.m.,
says Lan Wangji, with the confidence of someone who knows what just after dawn looks like.
Why the fuck are we up so early?
Asks Wei Wuxian, scowling into the light. He hasn't been up this early since the last time he stayed up this late.
If we'd been anyone else, this would be time for round 3, or maybe 4.
He looks over at Lan Wangji, and it's not until they're out of the throbbing pink lighting of the neon sign that he notices how pale he looks. The man is pale already. Wei Wuxian has no idea how, given they're on week 4 of daily sunshine. But he's almost gray right now, with puffy eyes and sunken shadows under his eyes.
Lan Wangji, says Wei Wuxian quietly, did you not sleep last night?
Lan Wangji blinks at him, and it's only because Wei Wuxian is looking for it now, but he physically sees the extra second it takes for Wei Wuxian's question to load into his brain.
I slept poorly, he admits finally.
Why didn't you wake me? Asks Wei Wuxian, aghast.
He should be more tactful, probably, but he's been thrown off since he woke up curled around Lan Wangji.
Then both of us would have slept poorly.
Wei Wuxian splutters at how matter-of-fact he sounds. But I'm the reason you couldn't sleep, because I... He splutters and can't get the phrase leaked delicious-smelling slick all over the bed out of his mouth. Sluck! Oh, God. That's not better. They stare at each other in, presumably, mutual mortification. Or perhaps Wei Wuxian is projecting that. And then he thinks it over and backtracks, because that was an assumption at best. I mean, if you were struggling because of me, then that was a solvable problem. Lan Wangji reaches out a hand, as if to put it on Wei Wuxian's arm, and then hitches, letting it fall short and hover.
I generally sleep badly in unusual circumstances.
It's not your fault, is what Wei Wuxian hears, which is very sweet of Lan Wangji, even if it's not really entirely true. So you're telling me you would have slept completely fine if you hadn't had an Omega in preheat next to you all night? He presses. Lan Wangji looks steadily at him.
The room glowed neon pink all night.
Wei Wuxian jabs a finger at him.
I see what you're doing. Masterful deflection there.
Lan Wangji has the audacity to look slightly pleased at that. Wei Wuxian gives up and tromps towards the beach instead. It's early enough that there's actually a slight breeze and the sand isn't burning hot under his feet, so he kicks his flip-flops off and squidges his toes into the wet sand instead. He considers taking his mic off again, although really, what worse could be recorded than his body taking him back to a teenager with their first wet dream and then massively overreacting to it? But Wei Wuxian opens up the no-condoms-condoms bag, and the smell of damp slick bursts into his face, and his ruined underwear looks back up at him, and he hastily clasps it shut again. He'll just have to deal with being perceived.
Hey, Lan Wangji, if you could pick any of the Omegas to spend a night in the love shack with, who would it be?
Wei Wuxian, says Lan Wangji.
I mean, apart from me, we already did the do. Well, not the do, but we did do it. Like, if you weren't just basing it on who would be chill and not intense and flirty about it, who would you pick?
Wei Wuxian steps into what looks like more sand, but turns out to be a little sinkhole of water, his legs sliding in all the way to the knee. Still, Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji steps forward, clasping his hand to steady him before he lands on his ass in wet sand. Wei Wuxian grabs his arm with his other arm between them, and they haul him up, wet sand clinging to his calf, and beams at Lan Wangji. He doesn't know if Lan Wangji is just being polite, trying not to ruin the largely peaceful and fun atmosphere they've had by bringing up someone else when they've literally just spent the night together. But it does give him the warm fuzzies to hear that someone might choose him for real. He links up their arms as they walk back to the villas. Week 5. The thing is, Wei Wuxian packs quickly. His things are always a whirlwind, spread haphazardly across the dorm. But he's used to this bit, and he's used to cramming his life into a suitcase to move around here and there. He gets everything folded up and ready to go in about 15 minutes, while Xuan Yu and Hui Song are still trying to locate everything of theirs. "It's not my fault you're slow." "You've had practice," gripes Xuan Yu. "Take your time. It's habit, not necessity," says Wei Wuxian, flopping onto his bed and savoring the feel of a real mattress for the last time. Once the two-week finale starts, even assuming he survives all of it, nights are going to be spent sleeping in snatches, huddled against trees and under bushes, or whatever terrain is out on the rest of the island, half an eye out for someone creeping up on him. And before that, well, there's actually a 3-day buffer built in between the end of this segment and the start of the finale that the public don't generally know about. Part of it is logistical. They need time to pre-record as many talking head interviews as possible in advance, or sort out costume design for the finale, have a chance to say their goodbyes to family, or shoot other promotional material, like sponsorship ads for the little peach yogurt drink that comes in a bottle that looks like deodorant. And part of it is, in Wei Wuxian's opinion, sadistic. They need time to stick all the omegas in a room and pump the air filters full of hormones and artificial alpha scent to induce them all from preheat into heat proper before the finale starts. That's what the show is meant to be, right? The finale doesn't make sense if the omegas aren't all in heat. But the show largely portrays the time the omegas spend together before the filming starts as the reason their cycles have all synced up, and glosses over the hours they spend together hotboxing musk. Wei Wuxian feels bad for Wen Cheng, whose heat triggers on the first day of their 3-day break. "I'll survive," she says crisply, as she fishes out 3 tampons and disappears into the bathroom. His is probably going to trigger late, right before the finale starts. Not least because he was expecting this, and his body has adapted. Or maladapted, as is probably more accurate. The final farewells come, illogically, first. That's probably because no one wants to do their final farewells when all the omegas are obviously sweating in heat already. And the further down the 3-day itinerary it is, the more likely that heat will have started for any given person. Wei Wuxian never has anyone come to his final farewells. Popo, his only surviving relative, told him years ago that she was very proud of him for doing so well, but also that she did not want to watch the television program where he spent most of his time naked and in heat. Which, fair. She pays for a gift package during the finale to be airdropped in every year, though, made up of food, first aid materials, and usually a utility knife of some sort. One year it was a cleaver, which definitely made things interesting.
Given how expensive the airdrop packages are, Wei Wuxian has wondered more than once whether she's burning through her retirement savings, making sure that he doesn't get fucked or fucked over in the first 24 hours. But she's never mentioned it, and therefore he's never mentioned it. She's probably fine, given she lives on an estate that covers the entire top of a mountain anyway. So when it comes to final farewells, Wei Wuxian mostly spends it with the crew, thanking them for their work and joking that he'll see them again the following year. The finale is staffed 99% by drones, so the camera crew are mostly done after the dating show portion of Hot or Not, only brought back in right at the end once the winners are being decided. That doesn't usually take that long, though, not compared to the few hours that everyone else spends, so he likes to spend his time people-watching for the rest of it. He likes to see who everyone else brings to this. Wen Ning and Wen Qing stand next to each other with a whole bunch of elderly aunties and uncles around them, which is sweet. Wei Wuxian hopes Wen Ning makes it. He's a sweet kid, and the other alphas don't seem to see him as a threat. Wen Qing told Wei Wuxian a couple weeks ago that he could hold his own in a fight, though, so he wants to see that. Wen Xu has no one around him, but his aura seems to be of supreme confidence that he'll win, and therefore any final farewells are entirely superfluous. Nia Huaisang and Ming Chue are standing in a little cluster with the Lan brothers and a bunch of other people. Since they all ended up here as a domino effect, it makes sense that they have the same social circles here to say goodbye to them. It's interesting, seeing people interact outside of the villa dynamics. He hadn't thought that Lan Wangji would be the type with a lot of friends, but he seems super popular. Lan Wangji locks eyes with him as he walks past, and Wei Wuxian waves. Lan Wangji keeps watching him, turning his head to follow Wei Wuxian as if he weren't concentrating on the conversation around him at all. Ah, perhaps he doesn't have a lot of friends after all. Jiang Cheng has his parents, who look weird and uncomfortable, and his sister, who's flitting around him, holding them all together. Wei Wuxian is glad he didn't get involved there. The complicated family dynamics are obvious. Jin Sishuan is hanging near them, and Wei Wuxian has never seen him look so uncomfortable before. His mother seems to be concentrating more on catching up with Jiang Cheng's mother than actually spending time with her son, leaving him to exchange pleasantries awkwardly with Jiang Cheng and his sister. Even more noticeable is that Mo Xuan Yu and Meng Yao aren't anywhere near them. Mo Xuan Yu is, in fact, hiding in a corner and making very sure that Mrs. Jin doesn't catch sight of him. "We should start a lonely orphans club," says Wei Wuxian, handing him a glass of water and then immediately taking it back once it becomes clear that his hand is shaking too much to stop it from spilling. "My dad's still alive," says Mo Xuan Yu. "That's sort of the problem. Can't believe he has 3 sons on the program and didn't come to say bye to any of them." He already didn't have a good impression of Jing Guangshan, given the whole, you know, multiple women, multiple sons thing. He hadn't thought it could get worse. "I heard it's some sort of confidence play. He's not saying bye to Zishun because he won't entertain the idea that he won't survive and win, or something like that. But it probably helps that it means he doesn't have to say hi to me or Yao Ge, too." Wei Wuxian's quiet for a moment. He knows that, by anyone's standards, he's had a rough childhood. But at least his parents loved him for real. And then, when Popo finally found him, she did, too. He slings an arm around Mo Xuan Yu's shoulders and steers him towards the interview room. It's blocked off 4 talking head segments, which the program will play alongside contestant introductions and in between bits of action. Most people are more concerned with saying bye to their families, but Wei Wuxian says, "Come on, let's go stack up on interviews. The more material they have from you, the more screen time you're gonna get. And that matters when you want audience votes for care packages. We can start with why you call Meng Yao Yao Ge and not Zixuan Zixuan Ge. Jin Zixun howls when he's voted off at the final voting, the evening before the finale starts. The worst place to get voted off, when he's so close to the finale and has been psyching himself up for the last couple days. "He's not another brother, is he?" asks Wei Wuxian out of the corner of his mouth. Jin Zixun had been another one of the contestants punted into the show halfway through. "Cousin," says Mo Xuanyu. Wei Wuxian silently counts off how many people in that family applied for this season of Hot or Not. "I'm actually really impressed you managed to completely avoid incest," he says. So, is there a reason that your entire family turned up this season? Just that the likelihood of it seems kinda low." "Oh, my dad was discovered embezzling Jing Corp funds, which led to the discovery that he'd also spent the entire family fortune over the last 30 years on expensive hookers. So there's no money, no inheritance, and the family business is on the verge of collapse. And also, I think Jin Zixuan took one of those 123andMe DNA test things. I think he thought it was just a cool thing to do, but now half-siblings are coming out of the woodwork." Mo Xuanyu delivers all of this with the ease of a single offhand comment. "But I'm just here for love." Wei Wuxian waits a moment for all of that to settle in. Sometimes he misses having a big family. Sometimes he's intensely grateful that he doesn't have to deal with one. "So everyone in the family is going through their quarter-life crisis?" "Something like that. Jin Zixuan was dating some rich girl who dumped him after the news came out, and his mom's desperately trying to set him up with one of her friend's daughters. Maybe that's what was going down in the farewells, with the awkward hovering and so on." Xuanyu continues, counting family members off on his fingers. "Meng Yao was the head of PR and comms at Jin Corp and, well, you know." "Yeah. Hard to spin PR on all of this." "So he's looking for an out. And when the investigation for this was happening, Zixun was discovered to be embezzling Jin Corp in a completely different way to my father, so..." Even Wei Wuxian is stunned into silence for a moment there. "Wow. Yeah. You're so well adjusted in comparison," he says eventually. "Thanks," says Mo Xuanyu dryly. They make to head off to the Omega dorm together so they can have a nice long ice bath and swelter in miserable silence together at their heats. But Lan Wangji steps forward as if he wants to have a word with Wei Wuxian, and Mo Xuanyu slips away before Wei Wuxian can say anything. Oh, he's gone already. What's up?" Lan Wangji glances around them. They're still in the studio after filming the voting reveal. Jin Zixun has stomped off after getting eliminated, but most of the rest of them are still chatting and slowly meandering out now. Crew are mostly flitting around, deconstructing the set around them. In short, they're not in private, but it's unlikely that anyone's listening to them.
"Congratulations," says Lan Wangji, "for getting into the finale."
"Thanks, you too," says Wei Wuxian. "You finally get to do the bit you thought you were going to do." He waits, rocking slightly on the balls of his feet, in case there's more. This is the last time they'll have a chance to speak again until they meet in the middle of the finale, after all. After this, Wei Wuxian will spend the evening in the Omega dorm, and tomorrow will be dedicated towards getting the Omegas all ready for the show to start.
"If you..." starts Lan Wangji, and then stops.
"Go on," says Wei Wuxian.
"If you need help out there," says Lan Wangji, all in a rush, words tumbling out on an exhale, "you can count on me."
Wei Wuxian frowns. He's trying to formulate a response that doesn't sound like he's being ungrateful,
but Lan Wangji gets there first. I understand that you don't need help. You have won 4 seasons previously, but I'm not saying this as an alpha, just as someone who would help you if you need it, or even if you would just like it.
Wei Wuxian tilts his head, trying to evaluate the weight of those words. He waits to see if there's anything more, but there isn't. Perhaps he can take them at face value.
Thanks, he says, because in the end, what else is there to say? He hopes that this was just Lan Wangji's awkward way of trying to tell him that he can trust him if they come across each other in the finale.
I hope you survive till the end. Alphas have a higher mortality rate than Omegas.
Lan Wangji nods and holds out his hand. Then perhaps, if I need your help, I can count on you too.
He leaves after Wei Wuxian shakes his hand, as the crew starts ushering them out of the way. Wei Wuxian stares after him.
Such odd behavior. So gentlemanly and formal. It's a bit disappointing, actually. He would have thought that they were past that point by now. Friendly, at least, if not quite all the way to being friends, for sure.